This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin with Kusu Chuang and Brian Fernandez, the top business stories for you. Today we start with what sounds like an episode of Dynasty or Dallas or Knots Landing. Take your pick of 80s soap operas. Peter Bellew, apparently, initially resigned from Malaysian Airlines without a job. According to The Edge, the outgoing Malaysian Airlines CEO tendered his resignation on October the 8th. That's more than a week before Ryanair announced Bellew was going to join the Irish low-cost carrier as its COO.
You know, we've got to ask ourselves, was Bellew's move to Ryanair really unexpected as claimed by Malaysian Airlines? So let's look at a chronology of the events over the last couple of days. So October the 8th, according to The Edge Financial Daily, as you mentioned, he gave his resignation letter to the chairman, Tan Sri Mohamed Noor Mohamed Yusof. Bellew said that Tan Sri Noor then did everything possible to persuade him to stay and finish the job. October 17th, Ryanair announced to the London Stock Exchange that Bellew was going to rejoin them as COO on December the 1st. And Malaysian Airlines on the same day responded by describing Ryanair's announcement as unexpected. So note that now Captain Izam Ismail will replace Bellew as new CEO.
I just want to say, because, you know, Malaysian Airlines is a GLC, and GLCs typically have opted for local, Malaysian. And, you know, it was kind of like a bit of a departure from the norm when they hired Christoph Mueller and then latterly Peter Bellew to run the ship, or rather the airline at the time. And it seems really weird because Christoph Mueller also left in ambiguous circumstances. He went on to join Emirates, I think, latterly. And then now Peter Bellew also living in ambiguous circumstances and then joining Ryanair. What is it about the post and the CEO position at Malaysia Airlines which is such a poison chalice? Because it's, you know, preceding Christoph Mueller, it was Ahmad Johari. And before Ahmad Johari was, I think, Tunku Zamal. And then before Tunku Zamal, it was Idris Jala. Before Idris Jala, it was, I think, can't remember. I mean, my memory doesn't go that far back. But, you know, we've had a whole series of, you know, CEOs come in through revolving doors, not revolving, but, you know, through the doors at Malaysia Airlines. It's a bit like Chelsea with a number of football managers, except that without Roman Abramovich's intervention.
But you see, the thing is, Chuang, so, you know, it begs the question also, was the reason for the last two departures of the CEOs due to interference or intervention?
We don't know.
We don't know exactly. But that seems to be, I mean, all the facts seem to allude to that. And interestingly enough, and this is apparently a retreat from Rakyat Post, which we can't verify at this point of time, Peter Bellew's family apparently returned to Ireland in July. So that was quite some time ago. So essentially,
so that's speculation. We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know.
I mean, they could be going back and forth, back and, you know.
But you know,
yeah,
the thing about speculation and rumor is that it is a mill that runs on the grist of a lack of clarity. When people are not clear, then they're not coming out and saying what's happened, and they evade tough questions. They actually encourage a rumor mill.
And they gather momentum as time goes by without, you know, without actual details from the source. So that's quite tough.
I mean, let's come back to, you know, get away from Peter Bellew and focus our concerns on MAS as an enterprise that, you know, has gobbled up billions of taxpayers' dollars over decades. Now, the question is, where is the airline going now? Whoever leads it, is it leading it from a position of strength? You know, are the cost-cutting days at Malaysia Airlines over? Is it now about revenue? In fact, back in August, we spoke to Bellew on the Breakfast Grill about the quantum of cost cuts identified for the national carrier for this year.
The change in the value of the ringgit against the dollar would have impacted us additional costs of about 400 million ringgits this year. And we found between 300 and 400 million ringgits of additional savings we think we can make, mostly around fuel, ground services, handling charges, and other overflight charges. We're executing that at the moment. It's going to be really tough. It's a very ambitious target to hit, but that's the way we're trying to deal with it rather than going looking for more money. I think it's down to driving for the next 12 months now, driving as much sales at a slightly higher fare as we can, playing to our strengths as a premium brand, and moving forward that way. That's the way we get there.
And that was Peter Bellew on the Breakfast Grill. Because that podcast can be downloaded from our website, or, you know, download our app as well. That's another way of getting to the podcast. where do we go from now, really? And where does the airline go from now? Yeah, once this drama settles down.
Well, the thing is, you've had two staff expatriate CEOs that have come and gone. But what they've done is they've actually laid out the groundwork and a clear plan of execution and how to move forward. So I suppose, essentially now, Captain Izam's job, having been part of the team that basically formulated this strategy, is really to execute, execute, execute. More than anything else, that's what they need to do. Now, you know, there have been issues about speculation also that some of the aircraft orders from Boeing perhaps were not Bellew's decision. It was taken out of his hands. I mean, it's left to be seen whether or not.
But he's denied it, hasn't
he? Yes, he's denied it, yes. But, you know, they're not the only one that's organized, that's buying Boeing aircraft. Now, Lee Hsien Loong is going to Singapore as well, Prime Minister Lee. And they are buying, Singapore Airlines is buying Boeing aircraft as well, you know, as part of their expansion. So it'll be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out moving forward.
Okay, moving on to the next story. The issue of affordable housing is a political hot potato. Promoting home ownership is among the low-income group or the bottom B40 or the bottom 40% of the Democrats. It's expected to become part of the upcoming national budget as they form a large part of the electorate. So goodies for the electorate.
Yeah, so a lot of the speculation from various parties, including the investment community, that the government will implement several measures to help the group, this group, this B40 group, as well as first home buyers. This will include stuff, incentives such as lower stamp duty, withdrawal of higher EPF to service their mortgages. The government may also allow, and this is a dangerous thing, allow a higher debt to servicing ratio from 60% currently for first home buyers. Also some easing on lending restrictions or even housing income tax deductions for first home buyers. All of this may be nice, but Chuang, one of the key things is we're loading people up on debt.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I'm so completely gung-ho about this issue, as the headlines might suggest, because, okay, let's just withdraw a little bit and zoom out and understand from the government's perspective, what kind of implications are for introducing home ownership for B40, right? There are only blue skies and rosy days ahead when it comes to home ownership for the people. It's a masses, right? From the bank's perspective, fantastic. They get to introduce more loans and there'll be basically a top-down policy initiatives for them to support, right? From the property sector, they'll love it because they get to move inventory, they get to position their stock back and get it off their books. From the position of the stakeholders in general, there's going to be this feel-good feeling. But as you quite rightly point out, Brian, when you get into the debt loop, what they call it, right? And don't forget that 7 out of 10 homes are now being purchased by first-time home buyers, right? Once you get into the debt loop, everybody who has a mortgage or credit card debt or who I hire purchase, they will understand the difficulty of coming out of that debt loop.
No, and also it's a key issue about, I mean, you talk about the debt loop, and it's also the question of housing prices. Now, I think
this will only make sense if house prices keep on going up. But what if they don't keep going up?
No, but the thing is, Chuang, also, that there has to be an issue in terms of managing costs. Because according to a Bank Negara survey in 2014, the median household income is about 4,585. What people can really afford in that median is a house for 248,000 ringgit. That's it. So a house that even what they term now as affordable housing, 400,000 to 500,000 ringgit,
is twice what they can afford.
It's twice what they can afford.
Okay, so the affordability is an issue, but not all debt is bad. Debt is also, in many ways, an incentive to work and work hard.
No.
I mean, there are all kinds of good things.
No, don't confuse that, Sharad, because good debt is when you, for example, you buy a backhoe or you buy some machinery which enables you to put more production capacity, which then allows you to produce more goods and services. That is good debt, right? If you borrow at 5% and you get a 10% return on your machine or capital deployed, that's good debt. Bad debt is credit card debt, higher purchase debt, or basically debt that puts you in a hole
for depreciating assets in particular.
Right? And this whole thing will make
sense. A house is not a depreciating asset.
You don't know.
A car is a depreciating asset.
Yes, correct.
There have been periods in history when property prices have not risen at all over a certain period of time, right? For example, in Puchong or Moncara or KLCC area, even in Rawang, for example, property prices have not risen at all in the last few years.
Yeah, but one of the things is also it's from a high base. So that's one of the reasons why they haven't risen at all.
But these are people who are buying it to live in, not as an investment, right? So it's a slightly different proposition, isn't it?
Yeah, but as Brian, because if you can't afford to have the home, you are putting yourself at risk.
Absolutely.
Here. Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. Going to have the bulletin. Then we'll be back with the Breakfast Grill. Brian, you speak to Kevin Gaskell, former managing director of Porsche, Lamborghini and BMW. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.